Welcome to a powerful message from the Lighthouse Chapel International, Bronx North Branch. Lighthouse Chapel International branches worldwide provide every member the training, support, and encouragement to fulfill the Great Commission and to go to heaven and hear Jesus say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." Join us for a life-changing experience as you listen to this message.
Our beloved Father, please come down and lead us. We are waiting on your touch.
Father, we thank you. Lord, we thank you. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity that has presented to us. Father, that even we find ourselves this afternoon in your house, prepared, Lord, to receive from you. We pray, O Lord, that you cause your word to have its free course. We subdue every other spirit, every other voice that is not from you. May we hear only your voice. We pray, Lord, that we will be touched by the Spirit. Transform our hearts, Lord. We pray, Father, that by the time we leave here, our walk with you will get one step closer. We thank you. We love you, Jesus. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. You may be seated. Wonderful. Well, this afternoon, for a very short time, we have a few minutes, so I am going to share with you in continuation of the message or series of messages that we have been sharing for some time now. And this message is based on the book Loyalty and Disloyalty, which was written by this most anointed man of God, the presiding bishop of Lighthouse Chapel International, Bishop Doug Heward Mills. Hallelujah. You know, it's such a wonderful book. Why have we vacated? Helen, can you come forward, please? So that Auntie B also can, please. I don't like when I'm preaching and I'm faced with empty seats, you know. Wonderful, powerful. Michael, come and sit here. Or you are ushering. You can sit here. Wonderful. Powerful. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, this book, Loyalty and Disloyalty, is a very, very powerful book. And I encourage everyone to have it and read it. You see, it helps you, your life personally, as it helps you as a wife, it helps you as a husband, it helps you as an employee, it helps you as an employer. It helps you as a child of God. Hallelujah. It is a very powerful book, and it's so amazing the things that the Lord revealed to the bishop. And we also have that wonderful grace and that same spirit and anointing to also share from this book. So the title of our message is The Things That Cause the Work to Cease. The Things That Cause the Work to Cease. And as you can see, we are sharing from the book Loyalty and Disloyalty. Hallelujah. And I believe we've been sharing so many things from this message. We've been learning a lot from this message. And we want to continue. Sharon, how many of you have been blessed from the message? I have been blessed. You know, I'm learning so much as we are sharing. How many people? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Okay, 6, 7. 8. More hands are going up. Hallelujah. Wonderful. So I want us to continue sharing. I want us to read one of the foundational scriptures that we are based our message on, Nehemiah chapter 4, if you will, please. Nehemiah chapter 4 is one of the foundational scriptures that we are sharing from. So if you turn with me to Nehemiah chapter 4, and verse number 6. Nehemiah chapter 4 and verse 6. Are you here with me?
Yes.
Wonderful. I feel like you are very, very far. Nehemiah chapter 4, and I want to read from verse 6. Hallelujah. Nehemiah chapter 4 and verse 6. So, if you are there, say amen.
Amen.
Wonderful. He says, so built we the wall, and all the wall was joined together unto the half thereof, for the people had a mind to work. But it came to pass that when Sambalat and Tobiah and the Arabians and the Ammonites and the Ashdodites heard that the walls of Jerusalem were made up and that the breaches began to be stopped, then they were very wroth and conspired all of them together to come and to fight against Jerusalem. Nevertheless, we made our prayers unto our God and set a watch against them day and night because of them. And Judah said, The strength of the bearers of burdens is decayed, and there is much rubbish, so that we are not able to build the wall. And our adversaries said, they shall not know, neither see, till we come in the midst amongst them, and slay them, and cause the work to cease. Hallelujah. So our enemies are saying, as we are building the house of God, as we are building the church of God, our enemies are saying that we will not know what hit us. Their goal is to cause this work that we are doing to cease. Now, for the work to cease, does not only mean that we will not have a church here anymore. Hallelujah. For the work to cease does not mean only that it's possible if the enemy succeeds, that we will not have a church here anymore. But the work to cease also means that everything comes to a standstill. Hallelujah. Everything comes to a standstill. You see that the choir is not growing. The church is not growing. You see that the ministries are the same. You see that the people are the same people. Hallelujah. They are the same people. And if that becomes the case, if that is what our state turns out to be, then it means that the work has ceased amongst us. It means that the work has stopped. It means that we are not going anywhere. Hallelujah. It means there is no progress. Because as you can see, he says that the walls were not even completely done. They had not put a gaze in the walls. They have not finished. But they were just joining them. He says, so built we the wall, and the wall was joined together unto the half thereof. And then the enemy says, they will not know what hit them. They will not know what came amongst them. They will not know who joined them. And they will cause the work to cease. He says that something will hit us one by one. Something will hit us, and that will cause the work to cease. And our goal has been to identify some of the things that the enemy uses to hit churches that makes the work cease, that makes the progress in the church come to a standstill. Hallelujah. Is somebody understanding with what I'm sharing? So the first weapon that we realize the enemy uses is to create independent spirit among church members, for church members to develop an independent spirit. Hallelujah. And I think we shared a lot from this particular topic, that the body has to move as one. When we develop parts of the body which are independent of the others, you realize that the body cannot move on. Hallelujah. And I think we shared a lot from that, and I want to encourage all of you to listen to that message again. Hallelujah. The other thing we also learn from the independent spirit is that the independent spirit also influences others. Hallelujah. We will encounter it again as another weapon. But Jesus also taught us that we also ought to have our own opinion about things. Amen. Do you remember? Jesus was teaching us as the Spirit revealed who Jesus truly is to Peter. He was teaching us that we ought to have our own opinion also. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Are you here with me this afternoon? I feel like you are very, very far. Oh, you don't like my message? Oh, I'll preach it. Thank you. At least Joe says I should preach it. Wonderful. So the next weapon, the next thing that hits us, that we are not aware of, is the spirit of offense. Hallelujah. The spirit of offense. The spirit of offense will also hit us. Hallelujah. If the enemy is attacking us, if the enemy is causing the work to come to a standstill. Offense is one of the most common things that destroy churches. It is one of the most common things that break churches. Hallelujah. It is one of the most common things that will cause the work to cease, that will cause the work to come to a standstill. Hallelujah. And the enemy is very much aware of it, and he utilizes it without us knowing, because it's not even designed for us to know what is hitting us. It's not even designed for us to know that offense is also one of his weapons. Hallelujah. Now, unfortunately, offense is a very common thing in the church. Offense is a very common thing that we'll encounter in the church. Hallelujah. Offense is something that we cannot get rid of in the church. Amen. Anywhere where people gather, there tends to be offense. Anywhere where people are trying to get together, when they are getting closer, there tends to be offense. Hallelujah. You see, one of the things that a church does is to bring people together. Do you see? Put people together. Bring people closer. Hallelujah. To put people to work hand in hand. Amen. And so you realize that whenever you bring people closer together, they tend to step on each other's toes. The only way you can avoid stepping on someone's toes is to stay far away from that person. Hallelujah. So offense will always be amongst us. Amen. Offense will always be here with us. Hallelujah. We cannot get rid of offense. Amen. We cannot get rid of offense. And it causes the work to cease. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 Wonderful. Why don't you turn with me to Matthew chapter 24 and verse 10. Matthew chapter 24 and verse 10. Matthew chapter 24 and verse 10. It says, and then shall many, say many, many, say including myself. You see, whenever the Bible talks about many, it means the majority. Hallelujah. Many means the most of the people. He says, and then shall many be offended. And then shall many be offended. Many people will be offended. Many people will encounter things that are offensive. Many people will encounter things that they don't like. Hallelujah. He says, and then shall many be offended. And what shall follow after people are offended? He says, and shall betray one another. Hallelujah. When you get offended, the next thing that will follow is betrayal. Hallelujah. He says, many shall be offended and shall betray one another. Hallelujah. Do you see when the enemy says, we will come among them and hit them one against the other. We will hit them one by one. So he comes also, he brings offense amongst us. And he says that the next thing that follows when we are offended is betrayal. Hallelujah. And after betrayal, the next thing that happens after betrayal is hatred. He says, and many shall be offended and shall betray one another. And shall hate one another. Hallelujah. Do you see why we have to be very careful of offense? Because someone that you love so much, someone that you admire so much, someone that you cherish so much, when the person offends you, you find yourself now betraying that person. And then you find yourself now hating that person. That you don't even want to see that person. You don't want ever to cross path with that person. And it all stems from offense. Hallelujah. At any place where people are building, wherever people make their minds to build, such as a construction site, there are always risk of hurt. Hallelujah. There is always danger. There are dangerous sites on a construction site. There are places where they even put signs not to walk there because of safety reasons. Hallelujah. And so you realize that there are regulations at a construction site. Can I hear amen?
Yeah.
Man, you are making the preaching very, very difficult for me. Are you here? Are you awake?
Yeah.
Or this small evangelism has... Are you here? Hallelujah.
Amen.
So what I'm saying is that anywhere where they are constructing, there are risks for you to get hurt. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And so you realize that at a construction site, you will be given special clothing. Hallelujah. They will give you special hats. They call helmets. Isn't that so? They are particularly colored in a way. What color is that? Yellow. Whether it is winter or whether it's summer or fall, it is yellow so that it sticks out so everyone will see. Hallelujah. To watch out for you. Amen. They also give you goggles. Hallelujah. Goggles to put on such that something will not accidentally, because that is the way things are over there. Hallelujah. They give you, sometimes they ask you to wear special boots that have some metal on the top and the front. Isn't that so? Such that when something falls on your foot, it will not break your toes. Because when something falls on your foot and it breaks the toes, it causes the work to cease. Hallelujah. It causes the work to cease. When something comes in your eye, it causes the work to cease. When something hits your head, when you are hit, when something falls on your head and you are not wearing a helmet and they start seeing a little bit of blood, you see, everyone stops the work and they come and attend to you. And then they have to call the ambulance. They have to stay with you, make sure you are okay. So you realize that that moment, the work is ceased. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
And so for all of that not to happen, they have to give you special clothing so that the work will continue on. Hallelujah. So that the potential hurts. You see, because you can be hit with something in your head. Something can hit you, but you realize that it does not affect you. You realize that you are still standing. You realize that you can still go on. You realize that you can still work. You are being hit. Something is hitting your toe, but you still are able to continue with the work. Hallelujah. Because nothing should make the work cease. When they are constructing, the only time the work comes to a standstill is when the leader says, let us halt now. And then we halt. And then we stop. Our work will only stop when our leader, Jesus Christ, says, it is finished. I have come now. That is when the work will stop. Hallelujah. Nothing should make our work stop. Nothing should put our work on pause. Nothing should make our work come to a standstill. Hallelujah. Even though he has said, many shall be offended. Many shall be hurt. Many shall be offended. Hallelujah. Now you realize that a lot of times when you are at a workplace and you get offended or you are hurt by some circumstances or something happens that you don't like, you realize people do not quit their jobs. People don't leave because they are offended. People don't leave because they don't like what the supervisor said. People don't leave because they don't like that the assignment was given me in a way that you didn't like it. People don't stop the work because they gave too much work to you. You don't quit. Hallelujah. Now, why is it that you don't quit? Why is it that when you are offended at a job, When you encounter something that you don't like, you don't quit. What is the reason? Because of $9 per hour. Hallelujah. Because of $9 per hour. That is a very good answer. Because of what your eyes are set on, because of what your focus is on, because of what you know you are going to receive, there is nothing that can shake you. There is nothing that can come and take you off the job. There is nothing that your boss will say that will make you say, take your job. I don't belong here anymore. Because your eyes are set on $9 an hour. Hallelujah. Amen. Because your eyes are set on a reward. Because your eyes are set on a reward. And so nothing shall shake you. Nothing shall make you stop. Sometimes you are hurt. You are hurt. And it's painful. But you say, I'm okay. They say, maybe you need to go home. Because you know that when they send you home, they will not give you that reward. And so you say, I am okay. They say, you don't look well. Sometimes your face, they look at your face and they say, you don't look well. Go home. You say, oh, I am okay. And you are smiling. Sometimes you will come and then they hear you coughing. You are coughing and you are blinking out. And they are worried about the people around that you make them also sick. And they say, you are not well. You need to go home. You say, it's just sneezing. It's just I'm clearing my throat. I am well. Sometimes you say, it's my allergies. How many of you, not you, but you have heard that before? Hallelujah. You say, it's my allergies. And so you don't want to even go home. Because your eyes are focused on something. That is why you are staying there. Hallelujah. Amen. That is why you don't want to go. And so you learn at the job to behave in a certain way. You learn at the job to not let them see even that you are sick. You learn at the job also to avoid certain things, to avoid certain hurts. So for that reason, you try to go to work early. Because you know those are some of the things that trigger the offense. That trigger someone rebuking you or some boss talking to you rudely. So you avoid those things by not even going to work late. And you are on time. Sometimes, even for favor, you stay a little longer. Your time is over, but you are still staying. To even prove to them that you are not really sick. Hallelujah. Is somebody understanding what I'm sharing with you? So you learn how to prevail at the workplace. You learn the rules of the workplace. How that you can survive, that the reward keeps coming. Hallelujah. Now, similarly, in the house of God, we also need to learn how to maintain and how to behave such that we will continue to serve the Lord. Because we also have a reward. Amen. But the problem is that we don't always look at that reward. We don't set our eyes on that reward. And so, just as we get offended and we stay at our workplace, we also may get offended in the house of God, and we also need to stay. Hallelujah. Now, we also need to learn the protective mechanisms, the uniforms that we need to wear in the house of God. We also need to learn how to behave at the work of in the house of God, such that we will continue to build and not cause the work to cease. Hallelujah. So I want us to look at the scripture in 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 3. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 14. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 14. Hallelujah. Are you there? Let us read that scripture. It says, 1 Timothy chapter 3. And did I say verse 14? Verse 14. He says, these things write I unto you. This is Paul writing to the church and through Timothy. He says, these things write I unto thee, hoping to come unto you shortly. Hallelujah. He says, these things write I unto thee, hoping to come unto thee shortly. And then he put two dots. What does that mean? It's called the colon. And it's going to explain the things that he wants to talk about. Isn't that so? Wonderful. He says, but if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God. He says, I am writing these things to you so that you will know how you ought to behave yourselves in the house of God. He says, I may tarry long, but so that you remain until I come, Kwame, until that you don't leave prematurely, that you don't quit, that you continue with the work. I am writing these things to you so you will know how thou ought to behave thyself in the house of God. He says, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. Hallelujah. Amen. Sheila, he says, that you may know how to behave yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, which is the pillar and the pillar of what? The ground of and the truth. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. And that is the description of the church of God. And so I look at this scripture and it seems to suggest three things. Three important things. One, that there is a way to behave in the house of God. Do you see? Bansin, do you see that? That there is a way to behave in the house of God. That the behavior at your workplace is not the same type of behavior in the house of God. That there is a way that we need to know how to behave when we are in the house of God. Sarah, is it that what he's saying? He said that thou mayest, he said that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself when you are in the house of God. Hallelujah. It's not every type of behavior that is also acceptable in the house of God. Outside of the house of God, people bamboozle their way through things. Hallelujah. In the house of God, it is how much you know. At your workplace, it is how much you know that will elevate you. But in the house of God, it is how humble you are that will elevate you. Hallelujah. It is how you humble yourself that you get to be elevated. It is completely different. The behavior is completely different. Hallelujah. The behavior at your workplace where, you know, people are going back and forth, and sometimes, you know, you see someone come to work and even what the person is wearing is completely inappropriate. In the house of God, we can't do that. Hallelujah. That brings offense. That caused the work to cease. That will make someone leave. Hallelujah. Is somebody understanding what I'm sharing with you? At a workplace, sometimes you are walking around and then a young woman, every time this man sees you, he hits your buttocks. And then he says, oh, stop it. Do you see? And then you go, oh, leave me. Do you see? And you seem to be favored by all the men at your workplace because they all keep hitting your buttocks. And you just say, oh, leave me. And you think that it's because you are nice. That is why they are doing that. But in the house of God, that is not the behavior that is acceptable. Hallelujah. Amen. Is somebody understanding what I'm sharing with you? So it seems to suggest that there is a type of behavior that is not accepted in the house of God. The next thing, I think it must be taught. You see, it's not something that we are born with. It is not something that comes automatically. Hallelujah. It is not something that you have been raised with, that your father raised you to a degree good enough that you know how to behave yourself in the house of God. Because if it is so, then he will not write these things to us. Then and it's not automatic that once you are born again, automatically you will know how to behave yourself in the house of God. So it is something that needs to be taught. It is something that you need to learn. Hallelujah. And so I am preaching a good message. Amen. I am preaching a good message. Hallelujah. If you are a wife and you are not in the house of God, there are certain things that you can do. But if you are in the house of God and you are someone that sits in the house of God, there is a way that a wife should behave. Hallelujah. There is a way that a wife should behave. There is a way that a husband should behave. Hallelujah. And that we need to learn. You are not born with it. In the house of God, how thou oughtest to behave, it needs to be taught. Hallelujah. It's not something that as you grow up with it. Do you understand what I'm saying? You don't grow up with it. Hallelujah. And the third thing that I think this is also important is saying that the house of God, which is the church of the living God, is the pillar and ground of truth. It is the pillar and ground of truth. That means the ultimate of truth, the foundations of truth, the pillar of truth, the systems of truth, the branches of truth. Everything that pertains to truth, it stems from the house of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. And so it means that when you come to the house of God, you need to receive everything as the pillar of truth, as the ground of truth. Hallelujah. It says, it is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. Hallelujah. Amen. And so one of the things that the truth does is the truth comes to unveil some hidden things. You see, when the truth comes, it puts you in a limelight. You see, now the reason why people put things in darkness is because they don't want anyone to know. Hallelujah. And so when you put things in the light, you cause offense. When people are trying to hide things, and then you bring it into the light, you cause offense. Hallelujah. But this is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. And so it will not lie to you. It will give you the truth. And last week we were sharing that there is nothing that you can do against the truth, save you do for the truth. Hallelujah. You can only do things for the truth. Are you with me?
Yes.
So why don't you, let's look at the scripture in Hebrews chapter 12. And verse number 1, Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. I want to read this. You know, we don't have a lot of time, so we'll read it directly from the New Living Translation. It says, therefore, since we are you there? Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1. It says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses, you see, therefore means that it's continuing from something, you see, and it's continuing from where, from chapter 11, when Paul was talking about all these faithful men and women of God, people who have followed God faithfully and they were promised something. You see, and how that because of the promise that they had, they withstood all trials and all temptations, and they persisted. And so, God has given us exposure to all of these people's lives. God has given us examples of all of these people. And then Paul is saying, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, that means they are somewhere and they are also witnessing. They are looking at us, what we are doing. And so many of them, as such, surrounding us and observing us. He says, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down. Let us strip off every weight that slows us down. There are ways that slows us down. One of those ways are offense. When you are offended, it slows you down in the race that we are running with Christ. When you are offended, it slows you down in the work that you are doing for the Lord. When you are offended, it puts you in a position where you don't do much now anymore. So Paul is saying, you see, I am teaching you how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God. Hallelujah. So he says, in the house of God, he says, as life of faith, that is us. That is the church. Do you understand what I'm sharing with you? And then he says, in the house of God, let us strip off every weight. It means that as soon as it comes, strip it off. As soon as it is on you, strip it off so that you can continue on. He says, let us strip off every weight that slows us down. Now, anytime you are slowed down, it means that you are getting to a stop. As you continue to slow down and slow down and slow down and slow down, you come to a stop. Hallelujah. Amen. And you realize that what you were doing has now ceased. Amen. So he said, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. The sin that so easily trips us up. There are so many little sins that easily trips us up. And he says, and let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. Hallelujah. Chuma, you understanding what I'm sharing with you? He said, let us run with endurance. Now, to do something, Ellen, with endurance, it means that things are rough. If you need endurance to continue on, brother, does it not mean that things are rough? It means that you need to really go through. You need to really force through. You need to really endure unpleasantness. Hallelujah. In order to continue on. In order to go on. So he says, the race that God has set before us. The next scripture. He says, we do this. How do we do that? You see, I shared with you how you have persisted at your workplace. The reason why you have sustained throughout all the offenses, throughout all unpleasant schedules. You are working at night. You are working on Saturday. You are working this hour. You are working that hour. You are doing this and you don't like it. Hallelujah. They schedule you on Tuesday, but you have not quit. Do you see? The reason is because you have your focus on something. $9 an hour. Is $9 an hour the minimum wage now? $7.74 an hour. $50 an hour. $30 an hour. That is your focus. That is why you are enduring. Do you see? So now at your workplace, you have endurance. $50. You receive it. Amen. May you receive that. Hallelujah. Can I have amen?
Amen.
I want your attention. So you see, you have endurance because of your focus. And you are going every day. Even yesterday, you didn't like what happened. Friday, you didn't like what happened. You didn't like the way your boss spoke to you. But come Monday, you find yourself dressing up again, taking a shower, and running, pushing people in the train. You want to be there. No one is chasing you. No, you set your alarm to wake up so that you will not be late. Because your focus is on something. Banson, isn't that so? So look, he says, now as Christians in the household of God, in the church of the living God, which is the pillar and ground of the truth, how do we sustain? How do we continue on? How do we move on with endurance? He says, we do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus. We will sustain through the offenses We will do that by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion. He is a champion. He is our example. He is the greatest supervisor. He is our greatest example. He is our greatest master. He is our greatest reward. He said, we do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy that was awaiting him. You see, this is an example that we are giving. Because of the joy that was awaiting him, he endured. The cross was not pleasant. I mean, Eric, do you agree with me that the cross was not pleasant? He needed endurance. He says, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame. Oh, sometimes you'll be put to shame at work. Sometimes they bring you in front of their other employers and they embarrass you. But your focus will never let you quit. What your eyes are on, it will never let you quit. What your mind is on, it will never let you quit. Because come the end of the week, you will get your two-week pay period. So you see, they are talking to you in a way that you don't like, but your eyes are on the ground. And then you say, Lord, give me grace. Oh, Lord, seal my mouth that I will not open it. Lord, touch my heart. I demand some endurance. I pray, Father, that you give me that grace. Because what an honor, I open my mouth, I will have to leave this place. Lord, I need this job. Give me that encouragement to endure. And as you are standing there, your teeth are like this. And then you are speaking in tongues. Yes, boss. You want to say something, but you know when you open your mouth, that will be the end. But your focus is on the two-week paycheck that is ahead, that is coming. And no matter what they say, no matter what they do, he says, you want me to quit, but I will not quit. They are provoking you to quit, but you will not quit. You say, I know what my eyes are on. Sometimes you say, I know why I'm here. I know why I traveled to come to this country. I didn't come here for nothing. For you to take away from me what I need from here. I will not go. No matter what you do, I am here. And then you say, when did you come? You just came here and you want to uproot me. I am here. I am not going anywhere. So you are standing there very angry, but you are smiling. Because you need a job. Hallelujah. Jesus is saying, in the house of God, the word of God is saying, in the house of God, this is how we do it. The way you do it at job, that is okay. But in the house of God, your focus is not on a paycheck. But he says, keeping your eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaiting him. This is how he did it. This is how he did it. He said, because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame. The cross was shameful. A son of God, the man that never sinned, but he was put in a position as if he was a criminal. It was very shameful. He could have commanded angels to come down and wipe all of them out, but he endured. Because of the joy that was set before him. Hallelujah. And as a result, he says, now he is seated in the place of honor besides God's throne. Hallelujah. Mavis, are you understanding the word of God? He is seated in God's honor. Hallelujah. Some of you, you know that your father is very rich. You know that there's an inheritance in the house. And no matter what they do in the house, your siblings, you know, your father has said so many things that you don't like, but every time you call him, hi, daddy, how are you, daddy? I call to see how you are doing. You know that when you call him, the things that he's going to say, you don't like, but you want to continue on because your eyes are on the inheritance. That by the grace of God, when he starts sharing, there is something that will come upon you. And so every now and then you buy him some vest and some underwear. and then you ship to him so that he will remember you. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. The next scripture. Are you tired of my word already? So he says, think of all the hostility that he endured from sinful people like you and I. He says, think of, you see, you, our mind in the house of God, this is how we do it. When you are offended, think of all the hostility that Jesus Christ endured from sinful people. Then you won't become weary and give up and cause the word to cease. Teresa, when you think of what Jesus went through, you will not become weary. Your focus will be on Christ, and it will not make you weary enough to give up and cause the beautiful work that you are doing for God to cease. Hallelujah. The next scripture. After all, you have not yet even given your life. After all, you have not given your life in your struggle against sin. Your struggle against sin, you have not died for someone. You have not died. You have not given your lives. Hallelujah. So think of him who gave his life. Think of him so that it will make this little offense even of no offense anymore. And the next one, he says, and have you forgotten the encouraging words God spoke to you as his children? He said, my child, don't make light of God's discipline and don't give up when he corrects you. When God corrects you, don't give up. When God disciplines you, don't give up. Hallelujah. I don't think anyone should sleep during this message. If I catch you sleeping. Because what is coming is very important, and the enemy will cause you to sleep. Hallelujah. He says, don't go back, please. You are forcing me to move on. He says, and have you forgotten the encouraging words? Don't forget these encouraging words. These encouraging words, I believe you can find in Proverbs chapter 3, and I believe verse 11. No, don't turn it, but this. He says, these encouraging words, don't forget. He says, have you forgotten the encouraging words God spoke to you as his children? He said, my child, God calls you my child. Don't make light of the Lord's discipline. Don't take it lightly. Don't belittle God's discipline. Don't associate it with carnal things. Don't associate it with people's selfishness and all sorts. Don't associate them with it. He says, don't make light of the Lord's discipline. And don't give up when he corrects you. The word of God comes to correct you. And don't give up. The next one, he says, for the Lord disciplines those he loves, and he punishes each one he accepts as his child. Hallelujah. The Lord disciplines those he loves, and he punishes any person that he accepts as his child. If you, the word of God comes to discipline you, it means God has accepted you as his child. If the word of God comes and you feel you are being punished by emotional feelings, it means God loves you. God has accepted you as a child. And the next scripture, he says, as you endure this divine discipline, remember that God is treating you as his own children. That is when you accept it as a divine discipline. Remember that God is treating you as his own children. Who ever heard of a child who is never disciplined by its father? Have you ever heard of a child who is not disciplined by his father? The next one. He says, if God doesn't discipline you as he does all of his children, not you alone, if God does not discipline you as he does all of his children, it means that you are illegitimate and are not really his children at all. Another word for illegitimate child is what? It's a bastard. Hallelujah. And I don't think any of us to God is a bastard. Hallelujah. The next scripture. It says, since we respected our earthly fathers. Listen to this very carefully. You see, because it says, I write these things to you so that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave in the church of God, in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. We need to learn. We need to know. Because it says, since we respected our earthly fathers who disciplined us, shouldn't we submit even more to the discipline of the fathers of our spirits and live forever? Look at this. It's a question. Since we respected our earthly fathers who disciplined us, didn't we accept them when they disciplined us when we were children? Should we not also submit even more to the discipline of the fathers of our spirits and live forever? Because the earthly father, they disciplined the flesh. They did not discipline the spirit. So if that discipline we accepted, even more so, why the spiritual discipline? Because the next scripture, it says, for our earthly fathers disciplined us for a few years. Our earthly fathers disciplined us unto 18 years, 21 years, 23 years, 24 years, 25, the most 30 years, and you were out of the house. Do you see? He says, for our earthly fathers, they disciplined us for a few years, doing the best they know how. That is the best they could do. What they knew is what they taught you. Some of us, we are not fortunate to come from spiritual homes where even our fathers discipline us based on the word of God. But they discipline us based on their own experience. Discipline us based on African proverbs. Hallelujah. So he says, they did their best as they knew how. They did their best. Do you see why in the house of God, as you have grown now, you need to be taught something? Do you see why you need to be disciplined? Do you see why you need to be rebuked? Do you see why you need to be corrected? So we say that our earthly fathers disciplined us for a few years, doing the best they knew how. So you see, you cannot stand up and say, you are not my father. You are not going to raise me again. In the house of God, you are being raised again. No matter how your earthly father raised you, they did it only to an extent and for a few years. And that discipline, it will not give you life everlasting. Hallelujah. So he says, our earthly father disciplined us for a few years, doing their best as they knew how. But God's discipline is always good for us. God's discipline is always good for us. The discipline that comes from God the Father, it is always good for us. The discipline that comes from the Word of God, it is always good for us, so that we might share in His holiness. Hallelujah. So that we might share in His holiness. Amen. The next verse, it says, no discipline. Listen. No discipline is enjoyable. No discipline is pleasant. No chastisement is pleasant. No discipline is something that you want to face again. He says, no discipline is enjoyable while it is happening. When the discipline is going on, it is not pleasant. Hallelujah. Some of us, we have received some lashes in our buttocks before. When I was in school, we had this teacher. We called them masters. Isn't that so? When I was in school, we had this teacher. And in the morning, I think it was like first year or something like that, from form one or form two, he would line us up in the classroom, and then he would stand here. In the week before, the weekend, he gave us a book called Student's Companion. And another one, the blue one. What was the name of the blue one? The blue one was what? First Aid. Yes, First Aid. And Student's Companion. And he will give us a chapter with words that we need to learn the antonyms. You know what are antonyms? And similes. You know what are synonyms? Synonyms and antonyms. So he will send us home with a whole list of words that we have to know the word and the opposite. And the word and is synonym or something that's similar. So when we come in the morning on Monday, he lines us up. And then your hands are in front of you like this. So when it's your time, you come around and then he has a cane standing behind you like this. And when he mentions the word, so this first round, we are doing antonyms. So he mentions the word, and then you say the antonym. That is in the book, not one that you made up your own. And when you get it wrong, he ships you. And then you go. It's not one, it's not over. So we go round and round and round until his hand is tired. And then we stop. Now I tell you, during those times, they were not pleasant times. During those times, so you find students, Friday, they are busy. Students in my class, Friday, Saturday, they are busy. They are not going anywhere because we have this class on Monday morning. Do you see? Because there's a certain teacher. Hallelujah. And so disciplining, you see, the moment that he was disciplining us, it was not pleasant. But when we were taking exams, when we were taking exams, a national exam, then we realized that our class was on top. Hallelujah. So if the Bible is saying no discipline is enjoyable while it is happening, your battles hurt while it is happening. It is painful. But afterwards, there will be a peaceful harvest of right living for those who are trained in this way. Amen. Hallelujah. You see, a lot of people, they leave good churches because of this discipline. But I believe they have not read the scripture. A lot of people leave because they didn't like the message that the pastor was preaching. A lot of people leave because they didn't like how they were put in a spot. A lot of people leave because they didn't like how they were rebuilt. They leave because of this, not knowing that all of that was done. It says, afterwards, there will be a peaceful harvest of right living for those who are trained in this way. Hallelujah. I tell you, you belong to a good church. You have no idea. You belong to a good church. The teaching of the word of God that you receive here, I tell you that you belong to a good church. Hallelujah. So when you are trained this way, you will receive a harvest of right living. Amen. And the next one, he says, so take a new grip with your tired hands and strengthen your weaknesses. Strengthen yourself as you are being offended. Continue on. Mark out a straight path for your feet so that those who are weak and lame will not fall but become strong. Hallelujah. Sometimes, if you are disciplined and you don't mark a straight path in front of you and keep your focus and see that this straight path, it continues to lead to Christ, it will cause even those who are weak and lame to fall. Hallelujah. Because you have been disciplined. You see, there are some people who are in the church that people look at you. People keep their focus on you. And so if you allow discipline to make you weak and to make you not have a straight path and continue on focusing on Christ, you will realize that it will cause others who are even weak to now fall. Hallelujah. It will cause others who are weak to now fall. Amen. Because you see, when you don't keep a straight path, when your focus is not on Christ, sometimes it comes in your comment. Sometimes it comes in your comment. Sometimes it comes in your demeanor. Sometimes it comes in how aloof you have become. That you are disciplined for something you didn't do or did do. You are disciplined, and so it makes you now aloof. And people look at you, why is this man now so cold in the church? Why is this woman now so cold in the church? Is something wrong? And they start wondering because of your behavior. And then he says that keep a straight path for your feet. Keep a straight path for your feet even after you have been disciplined. Because you have no idea. You see, look, listen. You have no idea that even though you say you want to be a minister of God, you are causing others to fall. So what kind of minister are you then? Is somebody understanding what I'm sharing with you? Even though you want to do the work of God, even though your desire is to win souls, even though your desire is to draw many to the kingdom, but your demeanor and you not keeping a straight path for your feet, it is calling what even God has gathered to fall apart. Hallelujah. Is somebody understanding the word of God this afternoon? So in the next scripture, it says, work at living in peace with everyone and work at living a holy life. For those who are not holy will not see the Lord. That is within you that no one sees. The holiness in your life, only God sees. And the Bible is saying, you also know the holiness that is in your life or not in your life. And that those who are not holy, they will not see the Lord. The next scripture. It says, look after each other so that none of you fails to receive the grace of God. Watch out that no poisonous root of bitterness. Bitterness is described as a poisonous root. It's described as a poisonous root. It is underneath. You see, it is not something that you see. It is not something that is obvious. For they will know what hit them. Before they know it, bitterness is in the root. And it is growing. And it says that, watch out that no poisonous root of bitterness grows up to trouble you and corrupting many. It will corrupt many people. It will spoil many people. It will break many people's relationship with God. It will destroy the relationship that people have built with God. He said, therefore, be aware of this poisonous thing called bitterness. It is in the roots. And when it comes, it corrupts many. It means that it destroys the stem. It destroys the branches. It feeds into the leaves. It feeds into every fruit that comes out of this tree. It is a poisonous root. It is a poisonous substance that comes to destroy churches. It is called bitterness. And that stems from offense. Hallelujah. He says, they won't know what hit them. One of the spirits that destroy churches, one of the things that enemy uses is offense, which otherwise leads to bitterness when it does not go away. Hallelujah. And so the next scripture, he says, make sure that no one is immoral or godless like Esau, who traded his birthright as a firstborn son for a single meal. We don't have a lot of time to go over that. And then the next scripture, he says, you know that afterwards, when he wanted his father's blessing, he was rejected. It was too late for repentance, even though he begged with bitter tears. Hallelujah. You see, don't let these things destroy the relationship that you have with God when you are disciplined. Because afterwards, even your prayers are not heard. And we want something. Even you will cry and cry and cry unto the Lord. But because of that root of bitterness that is in you, it will not even cause the Lord to hear you. Hallelujah. And then verse 18, he says, you have not come to a physical mountain, to a place of flaming fire, darkness, gloom, whirlwind, as the Israelites did at Mount Sinai. Hallelujah. But we have come to a mountain of grace. Amen. We have come to a place of grace. Hallelujah. I say, we need to keep our focus on Jesus. We need to keep our focus on Christ. If we want to continue on, if we want to continue to receive the grace that is from God, our focus should not be on any man. It should not be on any woman. But our focus should always be on Christ. Hallelujah. Now, once your focus is on Christ, you realize that there is nothing that will shake you. Once your focus is on something, once you know that you are sustaining because you are looking up to receive a special reward, nothing will kick you out of the job. Nothing will make you quit because your focus is on that paycheck that will come eventually. Let us keep our focus on Christ. Our time is up. So stand unto your feet. But let us keep our focus on Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. It says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. He's a champion of our faith. He's a champion of our faith. Even among the contradiction of sinners, he endured. He endured because his focus was on something. Let us keep our focus on that altar. Let us keep our focus on that master who rewards us. The one who holds the divine paycheck. The one who holds the divine reward. Let us keep our focus on him. For he will reward us. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you. We thank you. We thank you, Lord. We thank you. In the name of Jesus. May we keep our focus, Lord. May we keep our focus. May we keep our focus that we can receive your word. Father, that your word can correct us. That your word can rebuke us. In the name of Jesus. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
I need your love, Lord, and bring me to my knees.
May I know you, Jesus.
May I know Jesus more and more.
Sing here, I am waiting, Lord.
Here I am waiting,
Lord. For you, Lord,
here I am longing for you.
Please hide me in your love.
Hide me in your love.
Oh, yes. When the trials come, when the difficulties come, when offense come,
may I know you,
hide us
Jesus.
In your love. Hide us
may
in your love.
I know Jesus.
May we know you, Lord.
More
may our focus
more.
Be on you. May our attention be on
they
you.
Come.
May our growing be on you. May we come from you, oh God. Yes. Oh, yes.
Oh, my God.
Yes. Our attention is on you, Jesus. Our focus is on you, Jesus. Nothing shall separate us from the love of God. Nothing.
I will yes. Rise.
Oh.
Yes.
He who has brought the contradiction of sin. May our focus be on you, Jesus. May our attention be on you. Oh, Lord Jesus. Our minds are on you. Yes, Lord. Yes, Jesus.
I will rise.
We thank you in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, for these great blessings. We thank you, Lord, for this revelation. Father, you say, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? For it is you that justifieth. Oh, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Father, may our focus be on the gift and the reward that is set before us. Father, you say nothing shall separate us from the love of Christ. Not tribulations, not distress, not persecution, not perils, not nakedness. For nothing shall separate us from the love of God. But Lord, may our focus be on you. May the disciplines not separate us from you. Father, may the rebuke not come to separate us. May the chastisement not come to separate us. Father, may we not be offended and cause a root of bitterness to come in us. For that shall cause the work to cease. But may our focus be on you. May we strip off every weight that so easily beset us. May we strip off every sin that so easily beset us. That our focus shall be on you, Jesus. May we look upon you, the author and the finisher of our faith. May we look upon you. He that endured the contradiction of sinners. May our focus be on you, Jesus. May our focus be on you. Keep us, Lord. Deliver us from offenses, Lord. He said, there must need be that offense shall come. But Father, when offense arise amongst us, may you never separate us. May you never remove us from the house. May you never remove us from the family. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you. We bless you. We give you all that glory for what you have allowed us to learn this afternoon. In the name of Jesus. If there's anyone here this afternoon, you have not received Jesus as your Savior. You say, I want to receive Jesus Christ as my Savior. I want to come to Jesus. I want Jesus to come into my heart. You say, my heart is open and I want to receive Jesus. If that is your prayer, I want to say a very short prayer with you. Anyone here this afternoon, you want to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior? If that is your prayer, lift up your hand and I'll pray with you. Lift up your hand. Anyone that is here to receive Jesus? Anyone here? Father, we thank you for the gift of salvation. We thank you, Lord, for our souls that have been delivered. We thank you, Lord, for this walk that we have with you. May we continue to keep a straight path. May no offense come, O Lord, to cause us, Father, to form any root of bitterness. But may our focus be on you, Jesus. We thank you. We bless you. In Jesus' name. And all the saints said, amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord.
We don't want blessings. We want you. Open up the sky.
We hope you have been blessed immensely by this message. Join us at 1734 Williamsbridge Road in the Bronx on Sunday afternoons and Tuesday evenings. For copies of this and other messages, contact us via email at lci.bronx@gmail.com.